My name is Cassie Alaham. I am on the UNEC Administrative Committee. I'm based in Orlando, Florida. I'm also a member of Freedom Road Socialist Organization. And you may know me from keeping time right in the front all conference. That was me. But no one's keeping time now. So I want to thank everyone who made it out to this year's UNEC conference. Absolutely. Folks came from near and far to listen, to learn, to teach, to move forward in unity as one progressive coalition against U.S. wars abroad and at home. So people drove and flew far and wide because we believe in the power of the people to create long-lasting peace and justice. We believe in the brotherhood of man. We believe in the righteousness of resistance. We believe in the when occupied peoples and oppressed peoples have the right to not only resist but fight back against their oppressors. We believe that a better, more just world, a more equitable world is not only possible but within our reach. And our greatest strength, our most powerful tool, is not the weapons of our enemies, but the solidarity we have with each other and with the oppressed people across the world. And solidarity is exactly what we have built and solidified here at this conference this weekend. And it is our hope that you take this international solidarity back with you to your local groups and ramp up your organizing efforts against those entities which seek to maintain the status quo. So with that, and in the name of unity and solidarity, I'm going to introduce the two folks on my right. Before I do, you all have these booklets hopefully in front of you. In this booklet, we have the UNEC Principles of Unity, and we also have the draft resolution. Before the two friends to my right go over the draft resolution, I'm just going to remind folks of our Principles of Unity that we have agreed to in past conferences. Number one, opposition to all U.S. wars and interventions. Support for the right of all oppressed peoples to self-determination. Number three, connecting the issues, in other words, the issues of wars abroad and at home, environmental issues, militarism, etc. Number four, independence from the parties of big business. Number five, mass mobilizations as a primary means of struggle. Number six, quick response to events at home and abroad. Number seven, defense of civil liberties. Number eight, mutual self-defense. An injury to one is an injury to all. Number nine, commitment to a democratic decision-making process. And we stuck with nine, not 10, for some reason. All right, so with that, and in the name of unity, I will go ahead and pass it off to my two friends on the right. We've got Maddie Johnson and Wyatt Miller, who will be reading the various parts of this resolution. Take it away.
Draft resolution is as follows. Free Palestine and U.S.-backed Israeli Zionist genocide. At UNAC's founding conference, we adopted the demand, end all U.S. aid to apartheid Israel, military, economic, and diplomatic. UNAC thus became the first U.S. national anti-war coalition to take such a position. Today, this opposition to Israeli apartheid is front and center in U.S. and world politics. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, expresses the mass worldwide sentiment for Palestinian freedom. UNAC unequivocally unites with the people of Palestine. UNAC's proposed actions. UNAC will continue to build and support the mass movement in defense of Palestine and demand an end to all U.S. aid to Zionist apartheid Israel. In unity, we encourage support May 1st/May Day local actions as a workers' day to defend Palestinian resistance. Include defend Palestine among all other worker demands on this day. Support actions against the NATO 75th anniversary summit, July 6th and 7th in Washington, D.C. Support national protests at the RNC convention in Milwaukee, July 15th to the 18th. Support national protests at the DNC convention, Chicago, August 19th to the 22nd. UNAC reaffirms the ongoing work of building a massive, independent, democratic, united, front-oriented movement aimed at engaging the U.S. majority and challenging the war makers on every front. UNAC stands categorically opposed to all U.S. wars, secret wars, special operation wars, drone wars, assassination wars, sanction wars, blockade and embargo wars, and U.S. engineered military coups. Abolish the U.S. annual trillion-dollar war and military-related budgets. Use the billion and trillion dollars for healthcare, education, social services, quality jobs at union wages, and for a safe, clean, sustainable, fossil fuel-free energy system. Close all U.S. foreign military bases. Eliminate all nuclear weapons worldwide, starting with the U.S.'s leading arsenal. Bring all the troops home now. Abolish NATO. Abolish AFRICOM. No to NATO's proxy war and Biden's $80 billion military aid to Ukraine. No to Ukraine's joining NATO. No to U.S. interventions in Niger, Zimbabwe, Somalia, and AFRICOM. End U.S.-orchestrated military coups and interventions globally, from Bolivia to Honduras to Libya, Syria, Yemen, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, Haiti, and more.
No human being is illegal. The net result of U.S. imperialism's military, racist, and environmentally destructive policies is the ongoing devastation of the world's poor and oppressed people and nations. Millions are forced to leave their devastated homelands in search of a better life elsewhere. Open the borders, end all deportations. Rising attacks on civil and democratic rights. Today's wars abroad are increasingly accompanied by attacks on civil and democratic rights at home, with corporate media monopolies employed to restrict, if not eliminate, constitutionally protected rights to a free press, free speech, and free assembly. Mumia Abu-Jamal to Leonard Peltier, Omali Yeshitela to Edward Snowden, Chelsea Manning, Julian Assange, Dr. Afia Siddiqui, Simone Trinidad, and hundreds of Black, Latino, and Indigenous and Muslim prisoners are held for decades behind prison walls. Free all political prisoners. No to government censorship, spying, and political persecution. Hands off free speech and First Amendment rights. Stop racist wars at home and abroad. U.S. imperialism's systematic wars around the world are matched by U.S. systemic racism and police murders at home. The U.S. imprisons the largest number and percentage of its population of any nation on earth. Police departments are increasingly militarized, armed with the same modern weapons of war that the U.S. employs the world over. Zero funds for institutionalized racist cop murder. Defend the right of the oppressed to control their communities. Unity. The progressive and workers' movement in the United States has been divided and weakened. UNAC, as a coalition of progressive, anti-war, and anti-imperialist forces, calls for unity, especially in action against the war makers.
On Friday, you might have seen in your booklet that we were meant to have a speaker, a prominent Puerto Rican activist who was going to come and speak and open up the session. Unfortunately, she fell ill and was unable to make the trip. However, Olga Sanabria Davila from Puerto Rico sent her message to us to read before the conference. So if it's all okay with you, I'm going to go ahead and read, albeit a snippet of her speech, which was actually quite long. I had to cut it a little. But we will post the full statement on UNAC's website for you all to read. So allow me to speak on behalf of Olga Sanabria Davila. First of all, I'd like to greet all panelists, conference organizers, and all conference participants. This conference in the belly of the beast is being held at an important turning point in which two forces are pursuing conflicting objectives in diverse scenarios at the international global level, nationally, and at the local level. On the one hand are the forces of greed, exploitation, and aggression. These represent imperialism and savage capitalism in their most crude forms, while the forces of our future represent sovereignty, peace, progress, survival of global warming and climate change, and justice and abundance for humanity. In this scenario of conflicting forces, we are seeing the growth of fascist imperialist forces in the developed world and beyond, while the developing world struggles against its recolonization, against neocolonialism and colonialism in general. And while in Gaza, unforeseen levels of genocide and obliteration are being practiced by Israel with the United States behind it. Within the United States, imperialism and savage capitalism are manifest in anti-worker and anti-immigrant attacks, mass incarcerations, and violence against women and people of color. In particular, it is manifest in violence against blacks, as well as violence against the environment and our planet. In this international and United States scenario, the Puerto Rican people are struggling against United States colonial subordination and oppression. Puerto Rico is now the classic colony of the most powerful empire humanity has ever known. Our militant nationalist struggles of the early 20th century led to reforms and the so-called Free Associated State Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. These reforms left the model of colonial subordination and exploitation intact, while at the present, all pretense and lies about self-rule in Puerto Rico have been set aside with the adoption in 2016 by the U.S. Congress of the PROMESA Law. Among other things, this misnamed law, whose acronym signifies promise, mandated the appointment by then-President Barack Obama of a fiscal control board, which promptly took over Puerto Rico's public finances and imposed a draconian austerity program. The collapse of the colonial economic model of Puerto Rico, with over 40% poverty levels, and our lack of power to insert into emerging economic blocks of the developing countries, has left us in an economic limbo of extreme dependence, where we produce what we do not consume, and we do not produce what we consume, while we are held as a captive market for U.S. goods and the yearly source of $35 billion in profit for United States corporations. Despite the enormously disproportionate relation of power with the United States, our nation has historically demonstrated our resilience and fighting spirit, including accomplishing the release of all our political prisoners. Our most recently released political prisoner, Oscar Lopez Rivera, served almost 38 years in U.S. prisons for actions in favor of the independence of Puerto Rico. He was released in 2017 after our people, regardless of ideological differences, closed ranks in his support and waged a solidarity campaign for his release in Puerto Rico, the United States, and in the international arena. The issue of United States colonial rule in Puerto Rico should be front and center of the anti-imperialist struggle in the United States. Puerto Rico is the Western Sahara of Spain and Morocco, the Palestine of Israel. Thus, solidarity with the independence of Puerto Rico must be intensified, in particular in the United States. It is your government that maintains the colonial subordination of the Puerto Rican people and territory, its military occupation, its economic exploitation, and its cultural aggression. We Puerto Ricans have struggled and fought like all other peoples. The history of struggle of the Puerto Rican people has also included the love of the struggles of other peoples and our reciprocity in international solidarity. This has been manifest in our solidarity with the Vietnamese people, with the Cuban Revolution and against the blockade, with the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, with the Nicaragua of Sandino, against apartheid, for the independence of Namibia, and historically with the Palestinian people. The UNAC conference, Decolonization and the Fight Against Imperialism, takes place at a dangerous time. We must all ensure that the promise of a bright future, which also characterizes our time, wins over the dangers of our times. Towards this end, struggles are being waged on all fronts. Organization is taking place on all fronts. Unity and convergence must take place on all fronts. All peoples must continue to struggle united against backward forces that are intent on exploitation, colonialism, racism, hegemony, and wars. We must continue to struggle for peace, sovereignty, independence, human rights, sustainable development, survival of global warming and climate change, and a bright future for all of humanity. Anti-imperialist forces in the United States must include the decolonization and independence of Puerto Rico on their agenda. The struggle for a state of Palestine must win. The struggle for the independence of Puerto Rico must win. The people's struggles must win. Solidarity must prevail. All power to the struggles against colonialism, recolonization, and imperialism. All power to the people for peace, sovereignty, and justice. All right, thank you all. And lastly, here with us today, we have yet another ambassador who will be addressing our conference. And to introduce this UN ambassador is our friend Chris Halali. Please come on up.
It's a tremendous honor and a pleasure to introduce His Excellency Ambassador Dr. Sidi Omar, the representative of the Frente Polisario to the United Nations, and who works in coordination with the MINURSO. My name is Christopher Halali. I'm the International Secretary of the Party of Communist USA, and our party has had a long-standing tie with the Frente Polisario, with the youth movement, the Juventesario, and we have had the opportunity to meet with the President of Western Sahara, President Brahim Ghali, and to attend both the Polisario Congress and the Juventesario Congress. And while I was in the camps in Tindouf, I was asked by the Sahrawi comrades, why are you the only American here? Have they forgotten about us? Have they forgotten about our struggle? We have been fighting since the 70s. And I committed to them there. I made a deep commitment that I would come back and I would try to organize as much as possible so that the struggle of the Sahrawi people against the ongoing military occupation by Morocco, which is supported by the United States and by Israel, would be ended and that the Sahrawi people would have their liberation and would have their independence. So with that, I would like to introduce His Excellency Dr. Sidi Omar, and I hope that all of us can join together in a future delegation to the camps and increase the struggle for the independence and freedom of Western Sahara. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's really overwhelming. And thank you, Chris, for the kind words. Thank you very much, UNAC, for the kind invitation to be here among such dynamic and wonderful people. Well, your conference takes place at really a serious moment in our history. I think with what's happening in Gaza and elsewhere, but basically Gaza is a challenge to the conscience of all human beings on this planet. So it's time to stop talking and to act. And on that note, I would like to speak to you briefly about the struggle of the people of Western Sahara, which has a lot to do with the overarching theme of your conference, decolonization and fight against imperialism. So what is the freedom struggle of the Sahrawi people? As you may know, and like our fellow African brothers and sisters who managed to regain their rights and freedom through many long years of struggle, we were left being denied our right to independence because an African colonizer called Morocco occupied our land in 1975. And since then, Morocco has been occupying our land, oppressing our people, and plundering our natural resources, and our right to self-determination and independence being denied. In 1991, the United Nations established a mission called the United Nations Mission for the Referendum in Western Sahara, which was tasked by trying to organize a referendum in which our people would choose freely and democratically what would be their political destiny. But unfortunately, that has not materialized up to this moment. So despite the clear legality of this question, you may ask, why is that? And unfortunately, the answer is very clear. It's because Morocco has strong allies, including the United States of America and Israel, as Chris said. And because of that, Morocco has been allowed to delay and even to undermine the process leading to the liberty and independence of our people. And I'm sure that you can relate to this experience, because the complete impunity with which Morocco has been allowed to continue to occupy our land and to undermine our right to self-determination brings to mind similar situations that you may think of. Prime example, obviously, is the question of Palestine, which is a twin cause of the question of Western Sahara. And no wonder that Morocco has very close and strategic relationship with Israel, both of them being occupying powers. And this brings me to the question of, now after you have introduced briefly the struggle of the Sahrawi people, what can you do and why the struggle for freedom and independence of the Sahrawi people matter to you as political activists and to those outside? You support publicly, indeed as an action, the right of oppressed people to self-determination and independence, and that is really a noble stand that testifies to your strong commitment to fight against injustice and oppression. And this is where I would call on you and urge you to express your solidarity and support for the Sahrawi people, because they need your solidarity and support. A very small, peaceful people who have been struggling silently, peacefully for their freedom. But perhaps that's, as you may see, maybe one of the drawbacks of being a small and peaceful people. Your struggle is not newsworthy. The BBC, Al Jazeera, or France 24 do not find that a newsworthy. But you, political activists, internationalists, know about this situation. And then, as I said, I urge you to really work hard and to try to bring more visibility to this question through all types of initiatives. The United States of America plays a very key role at the Security Council when it comes to the issue of Western Sahara. And unfortunately, and apart from its continuous support for Morocco's illegal occupation, the former Trump administration, and contrary to the principle of international law, recognized the so-called Moroccan sovereignty over Western Sahara. The current administration has not publicly reversed that decision. So it is an urgent matter that should be taken up by urging the American government to go back to the neutral position of supporting the United Nations resolutions and revoking these illegal and unlawful measures. Lobbying your senators and House representatives, telling them about the plight of the question of the people of Western Sahara, is very fundamental. But in any case, it's all about telling the story, passing the message of the Sahrawi people. And the little that you can do is better than doing nothing, because doing nothing is not an option at all. I'll finish by reminding of some words spoken by the late Nelson Mandela, the greatest son of Africa, when he said that to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a life in a way that enhances and respects the freedom of others. Thank you very much for your invitation, and thank you very much for your solidarity and support.
Thank you, Ambassador. We've had two ambassadors at this conference. I just want to indulge your patience for a very short time more. We're going to hear one more greeting, short greeting, And then Margaret Kimberly, leader of UNAC, leader of Black Alliance for Peace, and the Black Agenda Report, will be just giving some closing remarks. So we're going to hear greetings right now from the Anti-Imperialist Platform. This was started by a group of anti-imperialists from South Africa. They held a recent conference, which I was invited to and attended in Athens, and they're here to give us, our conference, some brief greetings.
Congratulate UNAC for organizing such a fruitful conference with organizations from all over the world under the banner of anti-imperialism and anti-war in the context of World War III. Anti-imperialist forces in the world have grown stronger than ever before, but lots of world people are still under the threat and repression of imperialism. This is why our united anti-imperialist struggle and anti-imperialist war struggle is so important. The World Anti-Imperialist Platform and the People's Democracy Party of South Korea will continue to struggle together with UNAC, holding the anti-imperialist banner high. The big event of the platform is being organized in Washington, D.C. in July, together with more than 30 progressive political parties from around the world, and organizations like UNAC will be waging a powerful struggle against NATO. Let's meet in Washington, D.C. against NATO. The people united will be never defeated. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Margaret Kimberly has been a longtime member and leader of UNAC and has contributed so much to the anti-war movement, the Black Rights Movement, the Movement for Independent Media, and we're always really, all of us who have worked with her have always been very privileged to do so. Margaret Kimberly.
Thank you. Thank you all. And power to the people. Power to the people. Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here, for joining us here at this UNAC conference, Decolonization and the Fight Against Imperialism. This is my fifth UNAC conference. The first was in 2012, I think it was, in Connecticut. And it was, shortly afterward, I joined the administrative committee of UNAC. And I've had the honor of working with comrades in this organization and with people like yourselves. What do we say at UNAC? We say, stop the wars at home and abroad. We've spent this weekend talking about that war, a war waged by capitalists, racists, imperialists, usually all the same, against humanity. These people are the modern-day descendants from those who did the very same thing in centuries past. Here in Minnesota, in Mankato, Minnesota, the largest public execution in U.S. history took place when 38 Lakota men were hanged on December 26, 1862. They were killed for resisting the genocide against their people in the so-called Lakota War. We can also look outside the window here and see the Mississippi River, which begins here and flows down to the Gulf of Mexico. The Mississippi River was one of the largest means of transit in the domestic internal slave trade, as human beings were sold along this route in Missouri and Kentucky and Tennessee and Arkansas and Mississippi and Louisiana, and sold into enslavement, into slave markets along that route. Everything we've talked about this weekend have their beginnings in these stories. Stolen land, stolen human beings, wars against humanity. More recently, it was here in Minnesota in 2020 that a man named George Floyd was murdered by police. His killing set off mobilizations across the country, around the world, actually. But, of course, we all remember what we were taught in science class. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And lo and behold, suddenly there were what are euphemistically called public safety centers and police training centers began to pop up all over the country. But the right term is cop cities. And yes, the word is plural. And there was a great workshop here on this topic yesterday. It's kind of hard. I don't want to preach to the choir, but there are just some things I want to remind you of. In looking at the program and talking with you all, it's clear that we know we're in a battle for survival. That's not hyperbole. It's not possible. Unfortunately, there's so many, that's the downside of a conference. It's like, oh, I want to go to this, I want to go to that. No, that conflicts with my workshop. But anyway, so I missed today's panel on climate change, climate justice, and war. This is a topic that doesn't get enough attention. The people I spoke of, the capitalists, the imperialists, the racists, are in the process of killing all life on the planet. With our money, you know all the fossil fuel companies are subsidized. You know that, right? A few days ago, I saw this headline. Greenland's great glaciers are melting 100 times faster than estimated. Every month in the past year has been the warmest month since records were kept. March 2024 was the hottest March in history. February 2024 was the hottest February in history, and so on. And of course, a country with 800 military bases around the world plays a role. How much fossil fuel is needed to fly jets and operate ships and so on and run military bases? So we talked about that issue here at this conference. Of course, we talked about Palestine, and we have to. We must. We say we live in the belly of the beast, and we see it in Gaza. The president, who we are told is defending democracy, went to Israel and gave a blank check to kill thousands of people. And he has the help of support of Congress, by the way. Now, I deliberately omit the name of the Israeli prime minister because we cannot personalize this war. That's what they're trying to do, trying to get out of it. That's what Biden and leaders in Congress and their friends in corporate media are doing, trying to distract us by pointing fingers at a person, at one individual, and making him the villain, when the U.S. is a villain as well, and will send weapons to Israel regardless of who sits in that office. And let's be clear, ethnic cleansing is the right term. That is the goal. And that's one of the things I appreciate about being here at a UNAC gathering, because people know that and will say that. The deaths of these at least 35,000 people, they're not collateral damage. Their deaths are the very goal of the project. And the crocodile tears shed are just that, because Israel will still get weapons, even after the deaths of the staff of the World Central Kitchen, an establishment NGO that worked closely with the Israeli government. The deaths of those people created a political crisis. But it was resistance, Palestinian resistance, which brought their deaths to public attention. To their great credit, Palestinians show us the dead. They, none of this, that might be disturbing, we won't show you that picture, no, you might want to close your eyes. Nope. They did what they usually did and showed the world these victims and accelerated the political crisis necessary to end these war crimes. UNAC understands the importance of bringing us all together from all over this country and the world. We have, as Joe just pointed out, two, not one, but two ambassadors this weekend from Nicaragua and the Western Sahara. This state and its allies and corporate media hide the rest of the world from us. UNAC does the opposite and brings the information we need to see that the same people who fight against the sovereignty of African nations and who want to destroy the Nicaraguan Revolution are the same people who build cop cities. The same people who speak of mistaken, quote-unquote, mistaken killings committed by the IDF sound just like the people who dismiss the more than 1,000 police killings that take place in this country and call those mistakes. Yes, and it's a number that people don't hear very often. I'll say it again, an average of 3 people every day killed by police in the U.S. But I want to say, trying to bring this all together, about us here, I hope you all know that you're a revolutionary. You, yes, you. You know, that word used to scare me. The first time someone told me I was a revolutionary, I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not, you know. I'm not that important. I don't know how to do that. I felt it was a word I could not live up to. And I thought, I don't know, I had to do something very grand to, you know, call myself a revolutionary. But that's not true. Sharing these issues, working on these issues, these are revolutionary acts. We, by taking part in UNAC member organizations, we know who our enemies are. We know that they are enemies, that we have enemies. And we know that wishful thinking, reformism, is a road to failure. And that's one of the important facts of a gathering like this. It gives us renewed focus and concentrates our efforts. Let me remind you all how change takes place. We know that the arc of the moral universe bends towards justice only if we bend it. How have changes come about? Positive change happens when people like us mobilize and create political crises. That's what revolutionaries always do, and that's what we know at UNAC. I also want to point out something that isn't talked about, I don't think, enough. We also have to struggle with each other. That's all to the good. It's not something to be afraid of or nervous about. We can't move forward unless we learn how to engage in principled struggle with our comrades. If you're not struggling with someone, you're not doing enough work. And I also want to point out, you know, just by being here, I think it's important to acknowledge what we're doing for ourselves and for one another when we come together like this. The capitalists want, the ruling class, they want us to be atomized, to be separate, to feel separated from each other. We're always told nobody wants to listen to us. Nobody believes what we believe. No one agrees to us, agrees with us. Sometimes we have, in attempting to engage with people, even people we care about, it can be difficult. People who are in denial or susceptible to propaganda. And that can be very frustrating, but the worst thing we can do is to believe that we are alone when we're not. There are thousands of people, millions, who don't want their public resources used for war, who know that their needs aren't being met precisely because the war makers and the fossil fuel producers get their money. One of the workshops I'm sorry to have missed was bringing anti-imperialist issues into community, workplace, school, and union organizing. Good people on that workshop. And I think it's important to say, because we should not think that we always have some heavy lift in talking to people. People know they're struggling to live. And that's why we see these funny news, you know, ironic, not hilarious, funny news stories about how well the economy's doing. And then they say, we don't know why people don't like Biden, because they're doing so well. The economy's doing so well. But people know they're not living well. They know they're struggling. And the worst thing we can do is think that we're special people, we're unique in some sort of a unique bubble. And there are plenty of people who do get what we've been talking about and others who are desperate to hear from us. And that's why they marginalize and censor us. The ruling class knows. You wouldn't bother censoring someone, would you, if you thought, nah, nobody wants to listen to them. No, it's just the opposite. They know that people do want to hear what we say. And lastly, I don't think this is something that's going to apply to anybody here, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. One of the things that confuses people most in this country is that it portrays itself as a democracy. Of course, it's laughable, but that imperative is so strong because it is what people want to believe about themselves and the system they live in. That's why they use the word so much. They know its appeal. It's a very powerful appeal. So we get to vote after this, you know, they go in a smoke-filled room and choose candidates, but that's nothing but an oligarchy. But, you know, this quadrennial political extravaganza, otherwise known as a presidential election year, can confuse a lot of people. I'm sure it's nobody here. I'm sure no one here in October is going to say, you know, I really do need to vote for him because the other guy is so much more evil. So don't let that be you. Don't let that be anyone you call a friend. And I think, and I'm just going to close by saying this. You know, I think in the end we're talking, I don't want to mess up the quote from Che about revolutionaries loving people. And that's an act of love, changing the world. But it really is. And, you know, sometimes when you love people, you don't always get along in a particular moment and circumstance. But we have love for the world. We would not do what we do if we didn't care about people, if we didn't care about our own communities, about this country, about people all over the world. So I will close by saying power to the people and make love, not war. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now you know why you're here. At great expense for some of us who can't afford it, because this is not the end of what we're doing as we leave today. It's the beginning of what we must do to bring this anti-war movement to a higher stage. If your organization is not a member of UNAC, it needs to be, and you need to make sure that happens. And when we call actions, we need to all do them collectively. It multiplies our strength. And that's what we need to do. So thank you all for being here. Let's go home. Let's continue the build the anti-war movement as never before. There's huge tasks ahead of us. So let's make sure we can all do them together. Thank you. And thank you for all coming.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
From the river to the sea!
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea.
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea.
Palestine will be free.